In Albuquerque, New Mexico, last night, there was a forum for Democratic candidates seeking their party's presidential nomination. Some observers had anticipated a personal confrontation between John Kerry, who was once considered to be the candidate to beat, and Howard Dean, the former long shot who has catapulted to the top of the pack. But that did not happen. For the most part, the Democrats took aim at President Bush, attacking his policies on Iraq and the economy. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
Iraq was the first topic of the evening, and every one of the candidates agreed that President Bush had made a mess of it. Whether they supported or opposed the war, they condemned the president for not going sooner to the United Nations to ask for help in the reconstruction and occupation. Congressman Dick Gephardt helped to draft the resolution authorizing the war, but that stance has hurt him among anti-war Democratic voters, and he's become increasingly critical of the president's performance.
It is incomprehensible that we would wind up in this situation without a plan and without international cooperation to get this done. This president doesn't get it. He's a unilateralist. He thinks he knows all the answers. He doesn't respect others. This president has to lead, and he is not leading. He's a miserable failure on this issue, and he must be replaced in the election.
The war and its chaotic aftermath pose a problem for the candidates who voted for the use of force, because many rank-and-file Democrats are strongly against the war. Ever since Massachusetts Senator John Kerry voted to authorize force, he's been trying to balance that support with attacks on the president's diplomacy. It's a balancing act that his opponents say amounts to trying to have it both ways. Last night, Kerry repeated many of the lines from the speech he made earlier in the week in South Carolina, formally launching his presidential bid.
Being flown to an aircraft carrier and pronouncing the words "mission accomplished" does not end a war. And the swagger of a president who says "bring 'em on" does not bring our troops peace or safety. He told us, and Colin Powell told us, they would go to the UN and build a coalition. The president didn't do it. He failed in his diplomacy. He rushed to war against our warnings, and he has now inherited the winds.
If the war has been a complicated issue for John Kerry, it's been a simple political plus for former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, whose slashing attacks on President Bush have thrilled many rank-and-file Democrats. They've helped him rise from dark horse to the leader of the pack, at least by the early measurements of money raised, poll numbers, and momentum.
As Commander-in-Chief of the United States military, I will never hesitate to send troops anywhere in the world to defend the United States of America. But as Commander-in-Chief of the United States military, I will never send our sons and daughters and our brothers and sisters to a foreign country in harm's way without telling the truth of the American people about why they're going there. And that judgment needs to be made first, not afterwards. We need more troops. They're going to be foreign troops, as they should have been in the first place, not American troops. Ours need to come home.
Dean's rise poses the biggest threat to Kerry, who had once seemed to be well on the way to convincing Democrats that he was the best and inevitable choice to take on President Bush. But Dean has surged ahead of Kerry in the polls in New Hampshire, a must-win state for both men. Some Democrats had expected the Dean-Kerry rivalry to burst into the open last night, but instead of confronting Dean on stage, Kerry's staff instead circulated a statement to the journalists watching the debate, pointing out that in June, Dean had called for putting more American troops in Iraq, not pulling them out. This debate was sponsored by the Congressional Hispanic Caucus and broadcast simultaneously in Spanish. Both parties are openly and aggressively courting the Hispanic vote for 2004, and last night all the Democrats tried to show that they were in touch with the concerns of Latino voters. Most of them tried to speak a little Spanish, with varying degrees of proficiency. Here's North Carolina Senator John Edwards.
Well, you know, the president goes around the country speaking Spanish. The only Spanish he speaks when it comes to jobs is hasta la vista.
All of the candidates said that trade agreements with Latin America and other countries needed to include labor and environmental standards. Howard Dean went even further.
We ought not to be in the business of having free and open borders with countries that don't have the same environmental, labor, and human rights standards. And if you do that, we're going to be able to create manufacturing jobs in America again, and they'll stay in America.
Joe Lieberman, the most conservative of the group, said he was for including stricter labor and environmental standards in trade agreements, too, but he disagreed with Dean.
He said he would not have bilateral trade agreements with any country that did not observe fully American standards. Now that would mean we'd break our trade agreements with Mexico, with Latin America, with most of the rest of the world. That would cost us millions of jobs. So if that ever happened, I'd say that the Bush recession would be followed by the Dean depression.
Another area of disagreement was the Bush tax cuts, how much of them to keep and how much should be repealed to pay for other programs. Gephardt and Dean would repeal them all to pay for universal health insurance, and Dean has promised to replicate on a federal level the near-universal health coverage plan he implemented in Vermont.
We are going to repeal the Bush tax cuts. You can't pay for health insurance if you have those tax cuts, including the tax cuts for middle-class people. Most middle-class people never got a tax cut from George Bush, and I'm sure they'd rather have health insurance for everybody than the $100 they got from George Bush's tax cut.
On the stump, John Kerry has attacked Dean for this position, saying it would amount to an unwarranted tax hike for middle-class families. But last night, it was Joe Lieberman again, not John Kerry, who argued with Dean.
You bet parts of the Bush tax cuts would have to go, and they ought to go. But I disagree with Governor Dean and others who would adopt so large a program that it would force an increase in middle class taxes. That's not fair. The middle class is stressed today. They've got it up to here. And they got more than $100. Let's be honest about it. A lot of them got thousands of dollars.
And it was Ohio Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who is competing with Dean for many of the same left-leaning voters, who pointed out that it might not be so easy to take programs that worked in a small rural state and translate them into successful federal programs, all while balancing the budget.
And you can talk about balancing the budget in Vermont, but Vermont doesn't have a military. And if you're not going to cut the military and you're talking about balancing the budget, then what are you going to do about social spending? Hello?
For Democrats who've been waiting for John Kerry to run a less cautious campaign and take Dean on directly, that confrontation did not occur last night. Afterwards, even Howard Dean said he was a little surprised.
Well, I thought he might say some of the things to my face that he said elsewhere, but he just chose not to do that, and I thought that was fine.
And it certainly was fine with Howard Dean. Last night's debate probably did little to change his status as the most successful insurgent in the race, at least for now. But although Dean has a clear lead in the polls in New Hampshire and a small one in Iowa, other polls suggest the race is still wide open. 4.5 months before any Democrat has gone to the polls, big majorities of voters are unable to name a single Democratic candidate. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Albuquerque.
My interviews with the Democratic candidates are at npr.org.